Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy Armistice Day. You know, we already talked about this a little bit, but remember it was the 11th minute of the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month. And we should be finishing our service right about that time. So we'll absorb, again, a moment of silence of this day. I'm going to tell you about my grandfather, Fred Martin. Fred Martin was an orphan. And they called him Fred for no real reason. It wasn't his name. They just called him Fred. So that became his first name. And at the orphanage, they said, well, you got to have a last name. Okay. Remember Martin Seed Corn? Martin Seed Company? That's a Midwestern thing. Anyway, they used to put out a calendar. And so the calendar came out. And he said, well, that sounds like a good name. So it was Fred Martin. Now, is he my blood grandfather? No. My grandmother divorced my grandfather and married my grandpa Fred. So I have three grandfathers. Grandpa Fred was as much a grandfather to me as any of the other ones. Okay? When he got out of the orphanage, what do? He has no family. He joined the United States Navy. And he joined the Navy around 1902. He was in the Navy during Teddy Roosevelt's Great White Fleet that traveled around the world. And they went to Japan. Okay? They did. I want to share something with you. Okay, I brought this in, and people said, oh, isn't that beautiful? It's Mount Fuji, Fuji-san. If you've ever been to my house, I have two of these prints, silk, okay, with, you know, colors on them. The colors are faded, because Grandpa Fred got this in Tokyo in 1905. This is 113 years old. It's still that bright. Oh, you should have seen it 50, 60 years ago. You know, it's one of those things. But, you know, we look at this. My grandfather, Fred, a bunch of guys from Nebraska, this is before they stopped doing that, served on the USS Nebraska, which is a pre-dreadnought battleship. Took part in World War I. Okay? And the thing is, they were in that through the war. We're honoring the people who served in World War I today. But not only that, we're honoring the people who have served in the armed forces of the United States, and in our one case, in the armed forces of the United Kingdom. But yet, is it wrong to kill? I don't think so. And I want to share with you something here that Dr. Francisco wrote. And if you want to pull up letter here. This is in the second paragraph. Okay, for the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther, and for us as Lutherans, the answer is found in Scripture as the primary sources. Both sanction secular government and its right to wield the sword. Luther referred to this as a divine thing entirely and concluded the very fact that the sword has been instituted by God to punish the evil, protect the good, and preserve peace is powerful and sufficient proof that war and killing, along with all the things that accompany wartime and martial law, have been instituted by God. This is in an essay that he wrote called The Two Kingdoms. Well, why the two kingdoms? Jesus was asked, who do we give allegiance to, Caesar or God? Jesus took out a coin. He says, look at the coin. Whose likeness is on the coin? Caesar. So give unto Caesar what is due to Caesar, but then give unto God which is due to God. And if your government says that you have to go to war, especially in a righteous war, do we serve? Yes. I mean, that was very apparent by the number of veterans we had this morning. Why do we tie a date of a war to a holiday. You ever thought about that? Well, we tie the end of the war to a holiday, okay, because that is peace. And it's that act of peace that is pretty good. One of the things that came out of World War I, if it hadn't been for World War I, this church would probably be worshiping either in German or Norwegian, Danish, or in Swedish. During World War I, in fact, this is a little aside, the first churches of the Lutheran Church were all on the East Coast. Had been there long enough, people didn't speak German anymore, spoke English. So they went to Walther in St. Louis and said, we still want to be part of the Lutheran Church, but we don't speak German because German is the language of the church. And what he said to him, well, we don't want you if you don't speak German, why don't you join the Episcopal Church? So all of the Lutheran churches that were on the East Coast today are Episcopal. You know, sometimes I wonder if people can think. English became the language of this country in the Continental Congress. Anybody know about that? One vote. It was tied, and somebody put in the deciding vote. Otherwise, wir hätten Deutsch gesprochen. In other words, we'd be speaking German in the United States. Boy, wouldn't that have changed history if that was the case? You know, so instead of English, it would have been German. But what happens during battle? You know, I've been very blessed. You know, I went into the Army, went to ROTC summer camp, which was 4 weeks of basic training. And it's not the same thing as when you go through a full basic training. However, when we're climbing underneath the barbed wire and pulling ourselves through the dirt, and they're firing an M60 machine gun over it, you know, hey, this is fun, until you realize that every 500 rounds, there's a live round in there. And the first time you hear that thing of it going past your head, you thought, oh, this is getting a little serious. Can you imagine when all of those are live rounds being fired at you? I really respect the people who have stood up and done this. But what happens in a foxhole? Oh God, a prayer. When I was in Arizona, we didn't have a Lutheran church, so I went to the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, isn't it funny how things work out? And the former rector in there, anyway, he liked to play pitch. We both knew how to play pitch. So we'd get together and play pitch. And I got talking with him. I said, how'd you become a pastor? He says, well, I was in the Navy, and he said, we got torpedoed by a German sub, and we were in a lifeboat, and we were in the lifeboat for almost a month and a half. And he said, by the time I was done with that experience, I became a Christian, and I dedicated my life to serving God. You know, what happens? Well, people, when you're at a situation where you might lose your life, find out what's important. And I think God is important. Fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Well, we already talked, it should be thou shalt not murder. When you're looking at the two kingdoms, and we do have a righteous war. I mean, Paul shared his experiences of World War II today. None of us expected to be attacked at Pearl Harbor, did we? Even the government and the military didn't expect to be attacked. That's why we had such a great loss of life. The United States is established as a Judeo-Christian country. Well, what does that mean? That means we follow the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's Judeo-Christian. I think it's lost its way today. And I find that very sad. But yet, even coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan, how many times have you seen a photo of soldiers kneeling and praying together? A lot. Yesterday, I'm a Nebraska football fan. It's been tough this year, let me tell you. But they played Illinois. At the end of the game, the Illinois players and the Nebraska players gathered on the sideline, knelt, and said a prayer together. Instead of taking a knee. Well, they did take a knee, but for God. But stop and think about that. Now, nobody says anything, they show it. Tim Tebow, after games would pray, or after good things, he would pray on the field. And he was derided for that. But yet, somebody can kneel during the national anthem and they're lauded for that? How many of you have had relatives die for this country? You know, when we start looking at that, that really offends me. It's not too often I talk about secular things. Jeff?
Our Constitution guarantees us the right to pray even in the heat of battle.
That's right. So why have we ended up the way we are? I don't know. But I do know one thing. What we're doing today, worshiping God, being together in worship, is not politically correct. This is not PC. How can we believe this stuff? Not that stuff. I've shared with you the story before when I was in physics class at the University of Nebraska at Omaha, and the prof asked, all right, how did the universe start? Well, Big Bang. Okay, we went through, good. Where'd it come from? Every question, or every time we answered, he always said, where'd it come from? So finally, you get the point, there has to be a creator. Even Einstein said there had to be a creator. The math shows it. You remember after September 11th, when we were attacked, the churches in New York City had standing room only. It wasn't politically incorrect to go to church then, was it? Deb, you said something last week. Only 1% of our population protects the other 99%. I find that very sad. We have a situation that Gene's nephew or grandson?
Grandson.
Grandson is deployed in Afghanistan?
Yes.
He's an Army Ranger. Okay? And many times he can't let her know where he is because he's out on a secret mission. You don't think it's dangerous? Of course it's dangerous. I was really blessed here 2 weeks ago. I met a cousin. I have never met somebody else whose last name is Digert outside of my immediate family. And I knew Clint Digert was here. We met, you know, through the internet about 20 years ago. He was a F-4 pilot in Vietnam and a Sabre, Super Sabre pilot in Korea. After the Korean War, at the beginning of Vietnam, he was flying prop planes going into the outskirts of Vietnam and into Cambodia to pick up the French. Now remember, after Dien Bien Phu, when the French forces were defeated in Vietnam, that's the reason the Vietnam War started. Anyway, he was flying in and picking up all these French people, getting them out of Vietnam. Well, every time they went in, he got attacked hugely, and his jaw got blown off during this thing. Found out that where they were flying into was right next to the Ho Chi Minh Trail that was being built at that time. You know, so he's got a rebuilt jaw and things like that. He's 80 years old. But we sat and talked, and he was telling me his experiences in Korea and Vietnam. You know, I look at this stuff and I'm thinking, all right, where does this start? Battle of Oriskany, 1777, August 6th. It was one of the bloodiest battles during the Revolution. Why? Because it was American revolutionary forces against American loyalist forces. It was a civil war. Not just the one in the 1860s, but the Revolution was a civil war too. 30% of the population wanted to break off from Britain. 30% of the population wanted to stay. The other 40%, okay, didn't want anything to do with either one. That's right. So when we look at what was going on then, you know, we always say it's against the British. No, it was a civil war. We were fighting each other, standing up for what we believed. Well, at the Battle of Brandywine Creek, my seventh great-grandfather, Johann, was killed. Okay, and as I told you last week, I actually saw his Revolutionary War record. It's all handwritten, but it's pretty cool. Do you respect them for standing up for what they believe? whether it was for the revolution or not for the revolution, of course. But isn't that like Luther? Here I stand, I can do no other. When you join the military, aren't you saying the same thing? Here I stand, I can do no other. You take a step forward. You really do. All of us have had relatives that stood up for this country. World War II, World War I, Korea, Vietnam, Spanish-American War, the Civil War, the Mexican War, the undeclared war with France, war with 1812, and the Revolutionary War. So what does it mean to serve? There's my sermon name. It's to stand up for what we believe, whether it has something to do with the country, whether it has something to do with God. But I really do think, whether it's country or God, it's the same thing. It's a belief in the blessings of God we receive as citizens in a country that allows us to worship God as we see fit. And it's a country that has allowed that up until this time. And the next 50 years scares me, because I don't know where we're going. Today, we brought the flag in. Realize that until World War I, this was not part of our churches. And there's a lot of churches today in the Lutheran Church. We were told seminary not to have the flag. Why? Well, and not only that, but this is God's house. But yet it's because of this flag that we're in God's house. And that's one of the reasons I think today is one day we can honor the flag. You know, it's one of those things, what do we do? Well, we say thank you to all of you who took that step forward and took the oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Well, that little piece of paper that some of our lawmakers are saying is outdated and we need to get rid of it. One of the greatest documents ever written in human history, and we're going to get rid of it? I don't think so. All we can say is, thank you, Lord. As I finish to my sermon today, I'm going to read you a poem. And this is going to be my prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, from time immemorial, there have been those who have answered the call to walk the way of the warrior. From the snows of Valley Forge to the sands of Iraq. From 30 seconds over Tokyo to hours without end in missile silos. From the fields of Gettysburg to the halls of Montezuma. From the beaches of Normandy to the mountains of Afghanistan. We are grateful to those who have stood in harm's way to protect and guard our families and our homes. We honor the men and women who have sworn to protect and defend our Constitution from those enemies, foreign and domestic, who would take from us our liberty and our lives. We pray that you would shield your warrior servants from the shadow of death. May we rejoice in their courage and show them our thanksgiving in the midst of conflict and spillage. Lead us all to clean waters and green pastures. Easter, the hope of your servant in this land, and others to the triumph of your kingdom, when sword and shield will be no more needed. Bless them and us, and bless our home, your land, America. Amen.
Amen.